Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Muy buenos dias. It's Friday, September 16th. Good morning and welcome back to our number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn Leverins is enjoying the day off. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America, across our great nation here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It is a joy to be with you on this Friday morning here on Relevant Radio. On Fridays, we always remember the sacred Heart of Jesus, as well as the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy Mexican Independence Day to all of our Mexican brothers and sisters and those of Mexican origin listening across America. Que viva Mexico! This day celebrates Mexico's declaration of independence from Spain back in 1810 when a Mexican Catholic priest, El Padre Miguel Hidalgo y Costilla, made the famous call to arms, El Grito de Dolores, that sparked a movement to independence. The sights and sounds of Mexico have been going on for days in many cities across America, like Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, with parades, fireworks, fiestas, lots of food, dance, and music. I want to bring in someone who loves music and Mexican food, especially my colleague, Sarah. Mexican Independence Day is always a big party, big celebration here in Chicago and in many parts of the world.
Yeah, you're correct. I do like music and I do like food. So we're...
I knew.
Me and most of America, I think. But yeah, tacos are great. Who doesn't like a taco? I'm like one of the only people in my family that enjoys the hot sauce. So I'm always up for that kind of challenge. And you know what, John? Even if you hadn't told me it was Mexican Independence Day, I would have known that it was right around the corner because last week, all the Mexican toppings and fixings were on sale at grocery store ads. So I knew guacamole was on sale and chips and all the rice and beans, all the things were on sale. So I knew something was up. So I'm glad that we can celebrate it.
Well, you always can tell something is up when you see cars honking and Mexican flags sticking out, something that we've been seeing all week long. The big party, the big celebration began here in Chicago last weekend with the traditional Mexican Independence Day parade in the Little Village area, which is a very traditional Mexican part of Chicago. But not just in this town, in L.A., in San Antonio, in Houston, in many other parts of our country, there's big parties going on. So you never know what you're going to see today downtown here or Lakeshore Drive. There's a lot of enthusiasm for Mexican Independence Day.
Sure, some fireworks and other fun activities. So yeah, it's going to be a fun time whether you're Hispanic or not. You're going to have a fun time because, like you said, who doesn't like a taco?
And keep in mind that for 2 years during COVID, there were no celebrations, and that goes for Mexico City as well. So it's been a big party brewing for some time.
Well, that's a good warning for everyone across the country. We've been holding off all the celebrations, so now it's going to be a big one this year.
And for this reporter, Mexican Independence Day is always a very special day because this is my son Joseph Dominic's birthday. More on that coming up momentarily. So enjoy your Mexican food this weekend, Sarah.
Oh gosh, I will. And you too, John.
Thank you. We begin every hour in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many, many blessings through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 13:4. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful." The Apostle St. John teaches us that God is love. Without love or charity, we have nothing. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Love is the essence of the Christian life. Besides, love does patient and kind things. Love suffers for a long time and removes the burdens of others. According to the Apostle St. Paul, love is not related to feelings or sex, but to joy and to truth. It's not egocentric, but centered on others. When God speaks of love, it means something very different from what we mean. Let's learn about God's love, who is love itself. And we always pray with great confidence that powerful prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." Now, I want to share a special story of God's divine providence and talk about the gift of adoption. Do you know anyone personally who is adopted or an adoptive parent? Are you waiting for a child yourself? Well, around 2 million couples in our nation are waiting to adopt right this very moment. In fact, 15 years ago, my wife and I were one of those couples. After 2.5+ years of marriage and no baby, and then a miracle happened after praying at the tomb of Pope St. John Paul II at the Vatican. And that happened in part because of my dear friend and my longtime colleague at Relevant Radio, Sheila Logmanis, and her husband, Dr. Dale Logmanis. Listen to my sister in the Lord and dear friend, Sheila Logmanis, who joined me last year at this time to tell this amazing story for the very first time on the radio here on Morning Air. Good morning, Sheila. Welcome to Morning Air. It's so good to be with you once again. And could you believe it? Today is Joseph Dominic's 14th birthday.
Oh my gosh, John, I can't believe that. That little baby, I can't believe it's so tall and so big. And the little man we've always called a little man is now a big young man, still young, but quite tall. And he's so handsome, John. He's always been from birth. But yeah, you and I have said his whole life that someday we should tell this story together in public. And though you've told the story a lot across the country, you and I have never done it together until right now. So this is Sheila, a singular blessing.
This is so special. And, you know, you reminded me that there's Mexican Independence Day flags all over the Chicago area and in many parts of the country. So first of all, a happy Mexican Independence Day to all of our friends out there of Mexican origin. And every time I see those flags, it's always a reminder that Joseph's birthday is right around the corner because he was born on September 16th, Mexican Independence Day. Sheila, let's go back to September of 2007. You knew about this little baby before my wife and I did. Tell us how the birth mother came to your husband, Dr. Dale, and what happened.
Well, my husband was a long practicing OBGYN, and this was one of his patients, this woman. And so you and I, so separate track, you and I have long been friends, And so I already knew you and Cindy were looking to adopt and trying to adopt. And I even knew, John, that, you know, even though we didn't talk a lot, but we did talk, you know, periodically, I knew you had hit some sort of a lot of couples do, a glitch, a wall, a hardship. Like, in other words, it just was not happening. And yet you wanted fervently to adopt a child. So I knew that, you know, of course, I would mention that around the house just in conversation because Dale knew you too. So again, my husband, Dr. Dale Logmanis, OBGYN, delivered a lot of babies and speaks, you know, near perfect Spanish. And a lot of his patients were Mexican and other nationalities. But so this woman, believe it or not, John, all of the pregnancy that he followed, you know, regular checkups and so forth, he calls me one day urgently when I'm preparing to get in the car and go to mass. He calls me with an urgent, his voice sounded very urgent. He said, he asked, "Is your friend John Morales still looking to adopt a baby?" And I said, yes, as far as I know." It was a surprise. I mean, I thought, wow, this came out of the blue. And he said, when he told me real fast, John, that only after this woman delivered this beautiful little baby boy did she open up and pour out her heart and tell him her situation. And her situation was, God bless her for bringing him to life and giving him life. And she, with that love that a birth mother does this, she appealed to him for his help. Because as many women in this situation, she had, if we call it a crisis, an urgency, she had a desperate need for adoption, to find him a forever home and forever family. But it had to be fast, because she was going to be released from the hospital the next day, which would have put the whole thing in a whole different situation. So he asked me, and I said, well, let me call him and I'll let you know, meaning call John Morales.
Let me backtrack 10 days, okay. Actually 12 days at that point. We go back to September 6, 2007. I was in Rome to attend a sports and faith conference. I visited St. Peter's Basilica. I prayed on my knees in front of the tomb of my hero, John Paul II, St. John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great, for a number of intentions, and one of them was the gift of a baby. Lord, please send us a baby. I had no idea what was about to happen 10 days later in Elmhurst, Illinois.
No, nor did I. I mean, I'm preparing to go to Mass, and my husband calls, and with urgency in his voice asks, is your friend John Morales still hoping to adopt a baby? Does he still want to adopt a baby with and his wife? I said, as far as I know, I think so, yes. Let me call him. And he told me really fast the situation. I said, I'll find out right away as soon as I can reach John. So I got in the car to make Mass on time, but knowing it was a drive, I called you right away from the car.
Never forget it. Never forget it, Sheila. It was about 5 in the afternoon.
It was.
It was
yep.
September 18th, because it was 2 days after he was born. I get this phone call out of the blue, and it was a call that would change our lives forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all three of you. You, Cindy, and Joseph. So I called you on the way to Mass. I said, John, I'm on the way to Mass. Dale just called me. And I just blurted it all out as fast as I could. I said, but he needs to know right away. She's being released from the hospital tomorrow. And this is very important that they know your answer right away. And, you, of course, that would fluster anybody, right? So you were, yes, I think so. I need to call Cindy. Of course, that's wonderful because, you know, the spouses need to talk with each other, the would-be parents. So I said, okay, I'm on my way to Mass. I'll tell you what, I was a little bit casual about it, saying, we do need to know, but I'm going to Mass, so if you leave a voicemail, I'll get back to you as soon as I'm out of church. So I'm still driving to church, John, and my phone rings, and it's you. And you said you called Cindy at work, and she said something, my memory is something to the effect of, are you kidding me? You should have told her yes. Tell her yes right now.
Are you kidding me? Yes. Are you kidding me? I'll never forget it, Sheila.
You called me that fast, John, and you said yes, yes. And so I said, okay, John, I'm going to Mass. I'm going to pray for you and call Dale the minute I get out of church. So I did. And you, since he needed to know for this woman the very next day, you can tell the story of how you and Cindy needed to be at Elmhurst Hospital the very next morning.
Well, we started praying that night, that right after you called us. We went into big-time prayer mode. We started praying to Our Lady of Guadalupe. We started praying the rosary. We put it in God's hands, and I mean, we just prayed. We prayed. I remember on the way to the hospital the next day, that morning, praying to Our Lady of Guadalupe in a state of nervousness and high anticipation. I remember making a phone call to my friend Dan Shealy, an attorney, asking for legal advice. What should we do? And he was so unbelievable in giving us legal advice on what to do when we meet the birth mother. We walk into the hospital, and the birth mother is breastfeeding the baby, and my wife is thinking, that is not a good sign. it was amazing, you know. And Sheila, we're in that hospital room, and we talked for, it seemed like hours, like 2 to 3 hours in Spanish. Yeah. And somehow I was able to convince her that we would make a good family, that we were Catholic and that we were believers in the Lord and that we would take care of this baby. Like that, she handed the baby to my wife and we walked out of the hospital. My wife always jokes and says it was an 18-hour pregnancy with no stretch marks.
Cindy's so like that. I remember you won her over for many reasons, just by being who you are, the couple you are, being who you are. It was just so providential that, you know, of course, that conversation in Spanish was perfect. She's now seeing that my son will be raised as his forever family by someone who can speak to him in my language. But at the same time, you know, in learn English in America, live a life with this beautiful family. The kicker, if you will, if this is all stunning, he looks exactly like you. It was so meant to be. Joseph was meant to be your son. I see John every year of his life when you show me the pictures, and whenever I see him, I think, oh my gosh, this was so meant to be, that you and Cindy were his family, were going to be his parents. He was going to be your son. God meant for this to be, and it's just a humbling experience to merely be instruments with my husband of bringing the two of you together.
Believe me, and we're so grateful. Let me tell you a little bit more of the story. So we come out of the hospital. Our friend Dan, the attorney, had said to us, hey, do not do the exchange in the hospital. Make sure you do it outside the hospital. So we drove to a nearby Jewel food store, the parking lot, and that's where we exchanged the baby. We received the baby in a little car seat with his blankie and a bottle and a couple of supplies, and that was it. And I remember we walked into the store. We're looking for formula, for bottles, for diapers. We had no idea what was going on. It felt like it was a dream. It didn't even feel like it was real. And on my way to Cindy's sister's home, and she had a lot of baby supplies, it was like a beam of light that hit me that said, you are to name this baby Joseph. And so we named him Joseph in honor of St. Joseph. How perfect for this year of St. Joseph.
Right.
And Dominic.
Right.
So he's Joseph Dominic after the great Dominican St. Dominic. So he became Joseph Dominic at that moment. And it took a couple of months of legal stuff. And I'll never forget the last thing that I said to the birth mother when she came over to visit us before she actually signed the documents to make the adoption legal. She said to me, would you promise me that you'll take care of my baby? And I looked her in the eye and I said, I promise to take care of him as if he was my very own flesh. And that was the last time that I've ever seen her and her husband. We've never seen them again. But I know that we have lived up to that promise, and I just count my blessings. So every year on the 16th of September, Mexican Independence Day, I remember this gift from heaven that the Lord and Our Lady provided for us. And Sheila, you were such an important part. The Lord used you as an instrument to bring this gift of adoption to our family.
See, John, that's my feeling. I want to extend out to all of our listeners, and that is, always be prepared and open for when God and where God and how God wants to use you. You never know when that's coming. That sudden phone call from my husband with the sudden startling news about this lady who gave birth to this baby boy, this beautiful baby boy, asking about your openness to adoption, your desire for adoption. All of it happened so fast. And I want to reinforce what you just said. You wound up doing, of course, everything very legally, by the book, by the papers, by the law. You did the exchange through the paperwork with the birth mother. And then you and Cindy became the father and mother, the forever family of Joseph Dominic.
Forever family, because it was not just us. It was also my mother, his grandmother, our family. He became part of the family, la familia in Espanol. And so it's so moving. I'll never forget his baptism, Joseph's baptism.
I know.
You were there. He was baptized on the Feast of Christ the King that year. What a special day to be baptized.
And I remember standing there teary-eyed. That I still can't believe this is happening, this beautiful little baby being baptized into the Catholic faith, into the Catholic Church. My good friends, John and Cindy Morales, are now the parents of this beautiful child, always meant to be. I knew John at that moment, so young was this baby, that he was meant to be your son. You were meant to be his parents. So this is a message, as you said at the open, everyone out there who has a hope, but then they feel their hopes are dashed, just give it over to God in prayer, as you, John, did, and be open for anything. Foster care, adoption. There are so many children waiting to be adopted and so many people who want to adopt. I just want all the time, John, to bring them together. But in this case, God made it happen with this woman, my husband, the delivering doctor, and then calling me and me calling you.
And don't forget JP, too. St. John Paul II, the Pope of the culture of life. I left my business card at his tomb. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
With all my heart, praying, Lord, please send us a baby. I mean, I get emotional when I just reflect back, Sheila, but it's just such an unbelievable story. By the way, Joseph is not so little anymore, as we alluded at the beginning. He'll always be my little man, but he's now about 5'10", taller than myself. He's in eighth grade at Northridge Prep in suburban Chicago, Niles, Illinois, where Father Rocky used to be the chaplain. That's how I learned about Northridge Prep. He bats left, throws right, and he's quite a little soccer player, a goalie as well. So I'm just so proud of our little man, of Joseph Dominic. He is absolutely, Sheila, the joy of our life, of our lives. He's also a never-ending reminder of God's infinite love and plans for all of us, his divine providence, the sanctity of life. He taught us so much about parenthood, the meaning of love and sacrifice. And I just want to take a moment to say happy birthday, Joseph, Dominic, and Sheila. I cannot put into words how much I thank you for what you did for our family.
Thanks be to God. It was the hand of God, and we were mere instruments. And Dale and I are so honored and humbled and grateful that we were able to even just facilitate this in some small way, and then just step back and let God, you know, bring you all together and be in your life to see these incredible pictures and see Joseph. He is amazing, and he will, no matter how old you see him grow to be, John, he will always be your little man. And yes, St. John Paul II facilitated that as well. Thanks be to God. It's a beautiful thing.
And that was the one and only Sheila Logminas, Catholic journalist par excellence, our very special interview from last year. That was the very first time that we ever told the story of Joseph's adoption together live on the air for the first time. A quick footnote, today is my son Joseph Dominic's 15th birthday. He's now a freshman at Northridge Prep. Happy birthday, Joseph. Daddy loves you. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by British writer and broadcaster Fiorella Di Maria. Will join us from just outside of London in the United Kingdom to discuss the legacy in the upcoming funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Full rendition of God Save the Queen. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn is off today. Sarah is with us. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Queen Elizabeth II is now lying in state at Westminster Hall until the morning of her funeral on Monday. The massive crowd of visitors has stretched for almost 5 miles along the River Thames to pay their respect to their beloved queen, and the wait has been up to 14 hours. Listen to the heartfelt emotions from some of the folks, many of them moved to tears when they finally get that special moment with their queen, as her heard on Fox News.
We've had lovely people in the queue, sharing memories of the Queen.
Well, twice I was about to quit, but now I'm here for the long run.
Yeah, 10 to 9.
It's about 6 hours.
I thought it's going to be a good memory to remember until hopefully my kids when I'm older.
It was very emotional. I feel a bit teary.
It's like our foundation throughout our whole lives was the Queen. We've never known any other monarch.
It's not going to happen again in my lifetime, so I really wanted to experience it, and it was well worth it.
She's just stoic. I can't even put words into how amazing she is, so...
Lots of heartfelt emotion from the folks. Joining us live from just outside of London, in the south part of London, from the United Kingdom, is Fiorella Di Maria for a look at the reign of Queen Elizabeth II and her legacy to get us ready for the upcoming funeral on Monday. Fiorella is a British writer and broadcaster based in the UK. Her crime series, The Father Gabriel Mysteries, is published by Ignatius Press. Good morning, Fiorella. Thank you so much for joining us from the United Kingdom. It is a pleasure to be with you.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be on the show talking about our wonderful Queen.
Fiorella, first of all, what is your sense on the ground there in the London area of the reaction of the British people to the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II? As we've been reporting, the queue had to pause for a number of hours because of just the enormous wait, 14 hours, so much love for Her Majesty.
Yes, as has already been mentioned, the love that's been, the outpouring that has been so huge. There have been waits of up to 14 hours. And yes, the queue had to pause for 6 hours today because they just reached capacity. Thousands and thousands of people are streaming into London wanting to pay their respects. And they are people from all different walks of life. You're seeing men in their military uniform with their medals saluting the coffin. You're seeing women with little children. You're seeing people from different ethnic and religious backgrounds. There's even a man dressed as a TARDIS. Don't ask, this is modern London. But people from just all over the country and beyond wanting to pay their respects.
Fiorella, can you share with us some of the key highlights from the life of Queen Elizabeth and what made her so special and so beloved?
Well, everything our monarch did blazed a trail. She was the last head of state to have worn uniform during the war. That was hugely significant. She did not grow up abroad in safety. She was there, part of the nation's journey through the war. 27 million people watched the coronation in 1953. Many families bought their first TV set just to watch the Queen. She was the first monarch to visit Australia. She invented the royal walkabout. You know, we're very used now to seeing the royal family walking among the crowds, shaking hands and talking. That did not happen before Queen Elizabeth. The monarch was much more distant. She became a much more public monarch than ever before. She was the first British monarch to step on German soil since before the First World War. She visited Ireland in 2011. She was the first monarch to go to Russia, to go to China. She was hugely concerned with reconciliation and friendship among nations. And because she had such a long reign, she really became the nation's grandmother. For 70 years, Britain has known no different. She's the only monarch I have known that my parents have known. So she was this ever fixed mark in our lives. And of course, we're all feeling a little bit lost now, now that she's gone. I think we convinced ourselves she was immortal.
Are you amazed at the reception of affection and honor from around the world, not just Britain, but from all many parts of the world, who also thought of Queen Elizabeth as their grandmother, the world's grandmother?
Yes, I think we have all been very touched by that. Of course, we expected there would be an outpouring in countries like Australia and Canada, where they share the Queen as head of state. But the fact that there has been such an outpouring from all over the world has been really extraordinary and very important to us. It shows that she really was a woman who made her mark on the world.
Fiorella, can you talk about Queen Elizabeth's faith, her Christian faith? It's been reported that she read scripture every day. She obviously attended church on a weekly basis. Her faith was very important to her.
It absolutely was. She was very much of that generation of Anglican who was formed by her wartime experiences. She read her Bible, she said her prayers, she had a very practical, very down-to-earth faith with duty very much at its heart. She turned what could have been a life of privilege into one of public service. Every royal residence has its own chapel. As you've said, she always went to church on a Sunday. Sunday worship was really quite a priority for her. She was constantly referring to her faith, particularly during her Christmas speeches. Over here at 3 o'clock on Christmas Day, the monarch addresses the nation. She would always talk about the centrality of Christ. She is said to have said that she wished that Christ would come in her lifetime so that she could place her crown at his feet. So this was a woman who was Christian to her core.
And she was also very friendly to the Catholic faith, having met with five different Holy Fathers, five different popes. This was something really special. I've seen videos of the look on her face as she met St. John Paul II three different times, more recently meeting Pope Benedict and Pope Francis. Always she looked with a great dignity and amazement when she would step into the Vatican.
Yes, she was. It's incredible to consider that the first pope she met when she was still a princess was Pius XII. And not only did she meet five popes, she welcomed two popes onto English soil. And John Paul II, who was also a trailblazer in his own right, was the first pope ever to step on English soil. And she was the one who welcomed him, and she welcomed Pope Benedict years later. And these were friendly meetings. They were meetings between people who had a sense of a shared purpose, who were concerned about the Christianity of Britain and Europe. And if you consider the history of persecution that Britain's Catholics have, these encounters were truly incredible.
The bishops, the English bishops specifically, have been giving tremendous praise to Queen Elizabeth. Are you aware of some of the comments that have been said by the bishops there in Britain?
Yes, they have put out incredibly emotional statements for the bishops' conference. They have been very personal. Describing a Cardinal Nichols described the nation as heartbroken, which of course we are, and drew attention to the Queen's Christian witness, her sense of her accountability before God. Bishop Egan spoke of her as a woman of faith, and we have had requiem masses all around the country and Commonwealth. In my own parish, we had a beautiful requiem mass last Sunday. So the Catholic Church in England, in Britain, has really been sharing in the mourning of the nation.
Queen Elizabeth served under 15 different British prime ministers. She met with 13 U.S. presidents. She really was a fantastic world leader. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, she did indeed meet many U.S. presidents, and she was very close, I believe, to Ronald Reagan. They had a shared love of horses. And that gave them a talking point, I suppose. And of course, Ronald Reagan was one of only two U.S. presidents to be knighted. It's quite a rare honour for a foreign head of state. So she met with U.S. presidents. She also met Gorbachev. She visited Russia under Yeltsin. She very bravely, for the time, reached out to the Japanese royal family. In the years following the war, there was terrible anti-Japanese feeling in Britain because of the atrocities that had been carried out in the POW camps. But the Queen wanted reconciliation. She wanted to reach out to Japan, to Russia, to Germany, because she felt it was important that these atrocities never happen again. So she was very much at the heart of that.
Fiorella, what can we expect from Queen Elizabeth II's funeral coming up on Monday with all the ancient tradition? It's expected to be the most watched funeral of all time, perhaps bigger than St. John Paul II's.
Well, it will be, of course, a state funeral, which is usually reserved for royalty, though Churchill and Margaret Thatcher also had state funerals. This will mean full military honours. There'll be all the pageantry one would expect on such an occasion. Her coffin has already processed around the UK through Scotland and down to London, and the streets have been lined with people paying their respects. On the day of the funeral, there will be a 2-minute silence. There will also be some personal touches. For example, because the Queen did have a great love of Scotland, her piper will play a lament. And the burial itself will be a more private affair, because in the end, she is the nation's grandmother, but she was also a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother. So it is important that her family also have the opportunity to grieve.
Well, Fiorella Di Maria, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your expertise and your perspective on the life and legacy of Queen Elizabeth II. So much appreciated.
No, thank you. It's been good to be on the show.
Many blessings to you. Fiorella Di Maria, British writer and broadcaster based in South London in the United Kingdom. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by former NFL tight end and now Denver Broncos assistant coach Ben Steele, who will give us his take on the young NFL season. We're going to talk some football and faith. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Lives changed in your neighborhood and across the country. Here's another miracle moment on Relevant Radio.
Dondi, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you for everything you do. Last Friday morning, I was trying to decide how much I was going to give for this week's pledge, and the amount that I had decided I was going to give was pretty big for me, because I'm a retired teacher and I'm living on a fixed income. But then I told myself, God will provide. I know God will provide. So I was determined that that was the amount I was going to give for this week. And Friday afternoon, I received a letter from the teacher's retirement system that the retirement board had declared an additional earnings credit, which was 4 times the amount I had decided to give that morning.
Wow.
Praise the Lord.
And now and forever. I love that story, Dondi. Thank you for sharing that. You cannot get
that exactly.
Go ahead.
That's exactly what we talk about when the scripture says God is never outdone in generosity. You know, there is a perfect example of it in real life right there. Dondi, thanks.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Help us change hearts and lives by giving a tax-deductible donation now at relevantradio.com or in the Relevant Radio app. Help us create more miracle moments with a tax-deductible donation to Relevant Radio.
Help us bring Christ to the world with a financial gift of any amount. You can give on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
Or call 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
Give a tax-deductible donation now at relevantradio.com or by tapping the Relevant Radio app.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Glenn Leverance is off today. Sarah Tafoya is with us. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now let's talk some football and faith. The young NFL season is off and running, heading into week two. In week one, in the NFL Thursday night opener, the Buffalo Bills blew out the defending Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams 31-10. The Bills quarterback Josh Allen threw three touchdown passes and ran for another, as heard on NBC Sports.
Third and goal. Allen keeps it, pumps, runs, breaks the plane. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen took care of it himself. 3rd and 4. Allen stepping up and now floating it downfield, and Diggs is behind the secondary. Stumbles, but brings it in. Buffalo touchdown.
Now this new NFL season features new hopes for players and teams. And as always, Tom Brady, that's right, 45-year-old Brady is back after retiring and unretiring during the offseason. And Russell Wilson is now a Denver Bronco. Joining us live for more on this young NFL season is Ben Steele, a former NFL tight end who played with 6 different teams, including the Green Bay Packers. Ben served as a tight ends coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, offensive assistant with the Atlanta Falcons, and most recently as an assistant offensive line coach with the Minnesota Vikings, and is currently an assistant offensive coach with the Denver Broncos. Good morning, Coach Steele. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Honored to be on your show.
Well, Ben, tell us, in week one, your Denver Broncos came up a little bit short, 17-16 to the Seattle Seahawks on Monday Night Football. What can we expect on this coming Sunday in a home game against the Houston Texans?
Well, I will say this. Our team has already shown just how resilient they are and how positive everyone was after the game is reassuring that, you know, we took our lumps and everyone, you know, kind of owned up to our shortcomings in the building and you know, and they're just ready to get back on the field and kind of get the bad taste out of our mouth and go compete against the Texans. And they're a good team, but, you know, I think we still have the confidence in our own team and, you know, the ability that we have and the way we respond is going to tell a lot, that's for sure.
What were your impressions of Russell Wilson? His trade to the Broncos, some are saying, is going to transform the AFC West and perhaps even the entire conference.
Yes, man, you know, this division in the AFC West is so tough. I think, you know, everybody saw that last night with the Chiefs and the Chargers game with those two quarterbacks. And so you had Russell Wilson, and he's been such a light for the organization just in how positive he is and how hard of a worker he is, kind of galvanizing the team together. He started working with the team, with the players, at his own house. He would bring guys out to his own house and have them, you know, run through routes, and he's brought a hope to the city and to the team. And, you know, he played lights out, I think, in the first game. You know, as an offense, we had, you know, 400 yards of offense, and we just didn't capitalize in key situational moments. But, you know, we'll make those corrections, and players and staff, and move on.
Coach Steele, what can we look forward to from this young NFL season? Obviously, Tom Brady is back. Everybody's always talking about Tom Brady. You think this will be his last season?
You know, I don't know. Everyone, every time I say that it is his last season, he comes back for like 5 more. So it's hard to tell. I do think that, time kind of takes its toll on all of us, and at some point I think he's going to have to retire, but who knows when that's going to be. He's still playing at an elite level, he's going to make it tough on everybody, that's for sure.
Among the players to keep an eye on is the 2-time reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. He had a little bit of a tough start in the opener.
Yeah, he did. He did. I was fortunate enough to be with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay his rookie year. And I will say this about him, too, is he's not going to just lie down and call the season over after one game. You know, it's a long season. There's 16 more games. And I think they play the Bears this weekend. who had a big win over the 49ers last week. So I know that's a big rivalry.
Huge.
For the Bears and the Packers. So, it'll be a great game for both teams. But, I think that Aaron's going to have a breakout game this next week. And he's got those young receivers, and I think that he's going to get them dialed in to start making plays down the field.
Coach, I know that your faith is very important to you. How do you manage to live out your Catholic faith during the grind of the NFL season, during all the demands of being a coach, the many hours that you guys spend in the tape room with the players on the field? Just give us a perspective.
Yeah, it is a grind. But, you know, like I always say, I'm not digging ditches. I'm getting to coach the best game in the world, in my opinion. So I kind of take that in stride and realize how blessed I am to work in the NFL. So with that, obviously, my faith is in the forefront. So I, the team does a great job of giving time for mass and having our team priest available at the facility for mass. The rosary is a big prayer for me that gives me time out each day. So yeah, it's a grind of a season, but when you have good people and your faith around you, it definitely makes everything a little less stressful and a less burden.
Coach Steele, the other day in a company meeting, we saw images of the five largest college football stadiums, beginning with the Big House Michigan Stadium of 100,000 plus. The fact that we here at Relevant Radio reach more people than if you add up all those five biggest stadiums altogether, we reach about 4 million every week. But the reality is that on any given Sunday, there's many, many more people in NFL stadiums than there are at Mass.
Yeah. And that's what I've always said when I'm asked that. Like, people ask me how many Catholics are, you know, players and coaches in the NFL, and whatever that number is never enough. So, you know, and that's a big reason why, you know, I enjoy to live out my faith publicly, just because I do think that the more that we can bring along, because I wasn't always in the position that I was as strong as a Catholic as I am today, and I'm still growing in that. So the more that we can bring along, the better.
Well, Coach Ben Steele, thank you so much for being with us. All the best with your upcoming home game against the Houston Texans.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on. God bless.
God bless you, too. Ben Steele, former NFL tight end and now assistant offensive coach with the Denver Broncos. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Famous Football Coach. It's from Alan Smith. A famous football coach was on vacation with his family in Maine. When they walked into a movie theater and sat down, the handful of people there applauded. He thought to himself, I can't believe it. People recognize me all the way up here. Then a man came over to him and said, thanks for coming. They won't start the movie for less than 10 people. Ouch. That'll deflate an ego in a hurry. And that's the trouble with thinking you're somebody important. Not everyone is as convinced of that as you are. I heard about one man who was hesitant to go on vacation. When someone at work told him, don't worry, we can get by without you here for a while, his response was, I know, I just don't want anybody else to find that out. Humility, one of the most difficult to find traits in our society, and one of the most important traits in the eyes of God. How often we try to raise our esteem in the eyes of men when we ought to be showing our willingness to lower ourselves. Look for an opportunity today to take a lower seat. Luke 14, 8 through 11. When you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you will come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
As always, our thanks to Glenn Leverance, who will be back on Monday. I want to remind you to join Father Rocky here in the month of September and pray the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And let's continue to pray for our nation. Pray the Chaplet Divine Mercy, 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show. Happy Mexican Independence Day. Que viva Mexico. And that'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, producer Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you on Monday on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.
Mi México querido, qué linda es mi bandera, si alguno la mancilla le parto el corazón.